Hello everyone, and welcome to Bee's Corner, a true crime podcast where I will be diving into the most notorious true crime cases, from serial killers to infamous missing person cases. So for today's episode, I chose a notorious serial killer that I'm pretty sure you guys have heard about, Richard Ramirez, aka the Night Stalker. So the reason why I chose this was the fact that he always said like how he contributed his actions to Satanism and Satan talking to him. And another thing that really intrigued me was how he was caught. It's very interesting. So without giving too many spoilers, let's dive into it. Richard Ramirez was born in 1960 in El Paso, Texas. When he actually severed two very severe head injuries. At the age of two, a dresser fell on his head and he had to receive 30 stitches. At the age of five, he was hit in the head with a swing and was knocked unconscious. So if you guys are like me, you would probably know that head injuries are a thing when it comes to serial killers. So these head injuries definitely contributed to his future actions, I think. Another thing was his mom, Mercedes. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but she worked in a factory with heavy chemicals while being pregnant to Richard, which I also think definitely contributed to his medical issues as well. By the way, all of his siblings suffered from other medical issues, and he also suffered from his seizures, and he was diagnosed with temporal lobe epilepsy when he was 6 years old. At around this time, he started witnessing his father beating his brothers, older brothers. His father was a very violent man, and Richard would often sleep in the cemetery to escape his father's rage. Around this time, he was around the age of 10 when he started to sleep in the cemetery. He also began to smoke marijuana. That's very early to do drugs. When he was 12 years old, this definitely, what happens next definitely contributed to him a lot. Being a serial killer, he started hanging out with his cousin Mike. This Mike was a Vietnam War veteran, and he began showing Richard just these very graphic photos of women like performing oral sex on his gun at gunpoint. And like, there was another depiction which showed Mike holding the severed head of the Vietnamese woman. These are very graphic, like even the descriptions of it. And Richard said that this sexually aroused him. At this point, I think that he was interested like in that violence. So a year later, when he was 13, he witnessed his cousin murder his wife. Mike shot his wife in the head, and he actually only received like 5 or 4 years due to the reason of insanity, because he was a Vietnam War veteran, he played PTSD on this, and maybe he had PTSD, I don't know, but I think this showed Richard that, you know, he just shot his wife in the head and just got out in 5 years. I think this definitely showed Richard that he could maybe get away with what he wanted. So another interesting thing was what happened afterwards. They said, his father said, you know, that he needed to go and like see that, like I think go through the stuff in Mike's apartment, and Richard wanted to go as well because he wanted to see the aftermath of this thing. And also, while hanging out with his cousin, Mike really taught him, like, ways to cut someone's throat, how to stab them. And all of those interesting things to make a serial killer. So when he was again 13, he went to LA for the first time to visit his brother Ruben, during which time he started getting into pornography, and Ruben taught him how to pick locks, open windows from the outside, and disable alarm systems. So that's very intriguing. When he was 13 years old, he actually, for a brief time, moved in with his sister and her husband, Roberto Valla. I couldn't find many information about them. When he was a teenager, he dressed in all black and listened to AC/DC. He began stealing and entering homes through unlocked windows. I only found this on one story, so I can't entirely be sure about how correct it is, but he began to stalk and hunt rabbits, coyotes, and birds. And yeah, so I was able to find that in one source, but I couldn't be sure. Around his teenage years, he also, like, he was already smoking a lot of weed and marijuana around this time, but he began to experiment with hallucinogens like mushrooms and peyote. So when he was a teenager, he also began to have sex with prostitutes as well. I think he was caught for a theft charge and sent to Texas youth camp for juvenile delinquents. After returning from the camp, he really stopped caring about school, and he failed at ninth grade and dropped out of high school at 17. His cousin was also released from Richard was 17 as well, and they started hanging out again. When he was 18, he was a habitual drug user and a heavy candy eater, which resulted in awful tooth decay, and he also moved to Los Angeles. When he was 18, he also began to worship Satan, and actually drove to San Francisco to meet Anton LaVey, the author of Satanic Bible. From ages 18 to 24, he was arrested many times for possession, breaking and entering, theft and auto theft. When he was 19, he really began to let his personal hygiene go. He really didn't care. And this actually was a very important thing, because his surviving victims definitely said that his breath was awful. So when he was 23, his sister Ruth went to LA to convince Richard to move back to El Paso, but he refused, and like you said, he was a thief and not Satan was protecting him, which I found kind of interesting. Then around this time, around like he was 22 or 24, he committed his first murder. Although it was believed to be Jenny Winkov, it was later proved through DNA in 2009 that it was Mary Long. She was found at the basement of her apartment, hanging from a pipe by her brother, and Richard was living in six blocks from him. Mae Long was 9 years old, by the way. 2 months later, Jenny Winkov, 79-year-old, was violently stabbed. He entered through an open window and, as I said, stabbed Jenny while she slept. He also had sex with the corpse. 9 months later, Maria Hernandez and Dale Okazaki happened. Maria Hernandez was like, she was shot, but like, okay, so this is an interesting story. So he tried to shot her outside of her condo, but she had her keys on her hand, so she just held them up and the bullet ricocheted from those keys and she survived. The bullet didn't hit her, so she like ran to near a neighbor and hide somewhere over there. I'm not really sure about that part. But Dale was not that lucky. She was hiding in the kitchen and she was shot and died as a result. Maria was 22 at the time and Dale was 34. The next victim was actually in the same, like, day an hour later. I may be saying this very wrong, but Tsai Lian Yu, also known as Veronica Yu, he pulled her from the car and left her in the road. And I only found this in one source. It said that 2 days later he killed an 8-year-old girl from Eagle Rock, but I really couldn't find her name or anything about her, so I wasn't sure, but I will still say it. A few 10 days or so later, he shot and killed Vincent Zazara and his wife Maxine. Vincent was 64 years old and his wife Maxine was 44. Maxine's body was mutilated and the T was carved on her left breast and her eyes were gouged out, which I found was like very awful. Honestly, it was like very awful. Yeah. So the next killing order kind of changes. According to, like, I wasn't able to find one sure thing, but I will go with the one that I think is the most reliable one. Malville Keller, 83 years old, was killed, and Blanche Wolf, 8 years old, her sister was severely hurt with a hammer. They were both attacked with the same hammer. He attempted to rape Keller but failed and drew a pentagram on her tie and on the wall in the room. The next day, he bound, raped, and sodomized Ruth Wilson, 41 years old, while her 12-year-old son was locked in a closet. Then he tied her and her son together and left. So, as I said, there's like a small gap here, which I was not able to be sure. I think after Vincent and Malvia Keller and Blanche Wolf, he attacked Bill Doyle and Lillian. Bill Doyle and his wife Lillian. Bill died, and I think Lillian was raped and she survived eventually. But I only found this in one source, so I couldn't be sure. So I will add that there. A month or so later, he raped a 6-year-old girl. He also beat, only a day later, he beat and slit Patty Higgins' throat, who was 32 years old. And he killed, like, this is what happens, like, he kind of started this murder spree thing where he would kill a few days in notice. A few days later, he killed Mary Cannon, who was 75 years old, by beating and slitting her throat. And, again, a few days later, he beat Deirdre Palmer with a tire iron, but she survived. Again, like, a few days later, he beat Joyce Lucille Nelson, who was 61 years old, to death. On the same day, he attacked Linda Fortuna, who was 63, and tried to rape Linda, but failed. Also, Deirdre Palmer was 16 years old, and Mary Cannon was 75. I think I might have not said it. Sorry for that. So 10 days or so later, he attacked Maxine Kneeling and his wife Lena. Both were 66 years old. They were killed and their corpses were mutilated. He also shot Shitaht Asawaham. I'm really sorry if I'm saying this wrong. Again, he shot Shitaht Asawaham, 31 year old, and Sakima, his wife, 29 years old, was beaten and forced to perform oral sex. He also collected quite a lot of money and also beat the couple's 8-year-old son, which is just like awful, along with everything else. So a few days, 10 or so days later, shot both Christopher Peterson, who was 38, and his wife Virginia, 27, in the head, but they both survived. it only 2 days later he shot Ahmed Zia, who was 35, and raped his wife Suki, who was 28, and also forced her to perform oral sex. So this is where I feel like after a few, yeah, this is where things kind of get complicated. At a few days later, he traveled to LA and broke into the home of Bill Carnes, shot him in the head, raped his wife Inez, and the man she swear her love for Satan. Also, he like made his victim swear to Satan a lot. She was also forced to perform oral sex on him as well. Then he tied her up and left. She made her way to the window and saw the car. I think before this, he also tried to break into another house, but the 13-year-old saw him and like got out and just got a partial plate number, and the car is like the car's type as well. So with the information he had, like as I said, they were able to match, they were able to, like, he actually wiped the car but left one tiny point with the fingerprint, and they matched the print from the car, and a warrant was issued for his arrest, and a picture was released to the public. So along this time, like while all of this was happening, Richie went to Arizona to visit his brother Robert, which was a 7-hour bus drive, and he went there and realized Robert wasn't there. So he actually went back to LA with another 7-hour long trip. So when he got there, he saw the cops in the bus station and kind of just slipped right out there. But then his arrest was like an amazing story. He entered a convenience store and this elderly woman started saying El Matador, which meant killer. So he started running. So he stole like his face on all of these newspapers, and he started running, tried to hijack a car. After, like, he dragged a woman out of it and tried to hijack a car. And, you know, said, you know, I have a gun, don't come near me. But a man was like, I don't see a gun, and pulled him out. So then he started running again. He was literally fence hopping through gardens. Then, like, everyone was getting the news, and the whole public, like, the whole society there was just chasing him. And they eventually catch up to him and, like, beat the shit out of him, honestly. A man had a metal rod, and just when the police came, the rod was, like, covered in blood. And the police was like, who the hell is he? He didn't recognize. That's how severely they beaten him. And then, you know, they found out he was Richard Ramirez, and he was put to jail. His trial was quite interesting, also, because he was put on to trial 3 years after he was caught, because he kind of tried to, like, postpone it a little. Like, he always hired someone and then fired someone, and this kind of just kept on. And like 3 years later, they finally started the trial, and he definitely showed no remorse. It was one of the most expensive trials of all time. It was $1.8 million, which I think makes around $3.4 or $3.5 million now. There's an iconic picture of him with a pentagram on his hand saying, Hail Satan. He also got quite few fans. Like, he definitely got a lot of fans, and one of them was Doreen Leah. I may be saying all of the names wrong here. I'm really apologizing if I'm saying these wrong. I'm not a native speaker, sorry. Doreen, they got married in prison with Doreen and Richard, and Doreen was like, said that he was innocent, like he was framed and all of that. They got split. They split. I don't know why. Some said it was like in prison was just complicated having that some said that like the 2009 DNA match made them split. Not sure. Also, I found out that he was actually sentenced to die in a gas chamber, which I didn't know was a thing. He stayed in death row for 24 years, but he didn't die from his death sentence in 2013. He died from B-cell lymphoma and hepatitis C. Quite interesting. So I think that's all. As I said, I'm really intrigued by the way he was caught. It's like such a like movie scene. Like, you wouldn't believe that it was real. Like, it's such an iconic thing to just imagine, like, the whole people, like, the whole place there, a whole people there running after this murdered and just beating him, like, catching him. This is, like, this kind of shows the best in people, and I think although the overall story of Richard Ramirez is an awful one, the way he's caught kind of shows that there is still good in the world, and that's always a thing to remember. So I hope you guys liked the first episode. I'm really sorry if I mispronounced any name. I'm pretty sure I mispronounced all of the names, but as I stated, I'm not a native speaker. If I missed anything important or said anything wrong, I would be glad if you guys would point those out in a respectful manner. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next episode.